Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you again for joining me on the Word Podcast. We are in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. We actually want to finish it here today. Sort of a long chapter, I think 40 verses or so. And we've seen all sorts of interesting things about how we relate to one another. And Paul is just answering these questions. And so we ended in the previous episode where he says, hey, you know, I'm saying this stuff for your benefit. This is verse 35. Not to lay any type of restriction upon you or any kind of restraint, but to promote appropriate and devoted service. Okay, good order. Secure undivided devotion to the Lord, to where you can serve the Lord without distraction. So his big thing that he's been saying is, I think because of the present distress, that you should remain as you are. In other words, don't bring another complication into your life by changing what your life is at this moment. But be devout to the Lord and seek him in everything. So Paul now continues in verse 36. And remember he had said this, related to this part we're talking about right now. He says, I'm giving you my opinion about this. This isn't the Lord, but this is my opinion. That's sort of important. I want you to see how he ends this in a moment. Verse 36, he says this. If anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, toward his virgin, if his passions are strong and it has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry. It is no sin. So what is that about? Let me read a couple more versions. Lexham says this, verse 36. But if anyone thinks he is behaving dishonorably concerning his virgin, if she is past her prime, and it ought to be thus, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let them marry. What? New American Standard. But if any man think that he is acting unbecomingly toward his virgin daughter, see, the New American Standard puts the word daughter in there to help clarify for us. And we go, oh, okay. If she is past her youth, and if it must be so, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let her marry. The other two translations said, let them marry. So we sort of see what the question was. There was some dad was saying, hey, do I let my virgin daughters marry right now? Or do we await the coming of the Lord? That was often the question in the church, you know, that type of thing. And Paul was saying, hey, here's the deal. If you feel like that you don't want to act unbecomingly, in other words, she is wanting to marry, she's found somebody she's wanting to marry, and he says, it's okay. If she's past her youth, and if it must be so, in other words, this is just not something that she's 13 or 14 years old, and that would be considered adult at that age, during that time. But a young adult, right, young, he's saying this, no, let them marry. If they're old enough, past the youth, this just isn't an impetuous type of thing to do, then do what you wish. And then he tells them, just let them marry. It is no sin. It's okay. It's all right. But then he says this, verse 37, but whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity, but having his desire under control, and has determined this in his heart to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So is he talking about keeping the virgin daughter? Let's go with the New American Standard. But he who stands firm in his heart, being under no constraint, but has authority over his own will, and has decided this in his own heart to keep his own daughter virgin, he will do well. So if the dad comes along and says, maybe I understand, I know what's going on, but I don't think this is right for you right now. You know, I'm keeping my own will under authority. I'm keeping my own will, my own passion under constraint. Okay. And I've decided this in my heart. And Paul's saying, okay, you'll do well to do that. Now, that sort of goes against our Western way of life and what we consider to be our Western sensibilities. But he says you'll be okay. Verse 38. So then, he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. New American Standard. So then, both he who gives his own virgin daughter in marriage does well, and he who does not give her in marriage will do better. He says it's fine, whichever way you feel like that you're supposed to go. Now, do you think that the daughter might have an impact on daddy's heart as far as the decision right here? yeah, in all likelihood, sure. You know, nothing's changed that much, right? But he's letting them know, don't worry and don't fret over this thing. You know, apparently somebody was raising some kind of questions right here that do the daughters need to remain as they are right now and not marry, anticipating what is happening during this present distress? And Paul's trying to give him some insight in that. Now, last couple of verses of the chapter. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. So you can tell this is an answer to some question. We don't know the exact form of the question, but you can sort of infer what it might be. You know, if you're married to somebody, your husband, then you're married to them. If he dies, then you're free. And you're free to remarry only in the Lord. Which means what? Yeah, you're free to marry only somebody who's in the Lord, not marry somebody who is an unbeliever. And so if you're a believer and you're married to a husband, and we've seen this already, if he's a believer, hallelujah. If he dies, then you're free to marry again. If you're married to an unbeliever and he agrees to stay with you and live with you, that's great, that's wonderful. Who knows? Perhaps he will be led to righteousness. But if he dies, you're free to remarry, but only in the Lord. You're not free to remarry someone else who's not a believer. Now the last verse, verse 40. Paul says this, yet, in my judgment, she is happier if she remains as she is. She'll be happier if she remains unmarried. And then he says this, and I think I have the Spirit of God. I think that I too have the Spirit of God. So after getting done saying this, he says, you know what? I think you've got the Spirit of God. I think the Spirit of God has spoken to me about this right here. Even as he's writing it, he was correct because the Lord left it in here. Left the letter as it is and for us to see and to glean some insight into that. Isn't that cool? And so anyway, we see that Paul's just firing all these answers to really down-to-earth questions that people were having. And don't you love the fact that they were asking those questions and they're thinking along that way. And they're wondering, how do I live life as a believer? And they were coming out of either Judaism or out of a pagan background. How do I do this? It's great questions. Sadly, we don't really even ask these kind of questions nowadays. We just come along and just like superimpose things upon people. Say, okay, you say you've done this, and this is what you must do in this way. Rather than letting people ask, letting people grow in the faith and see what God's doing in their lives. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. And we'll pick up the 8th chapter next episode. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.